are battery full and beautiful. I'm sure, as I said, you are charged the battery full and beautiful because it's Pentecost. So happy feast, dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. May the peace and happiness of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As people in the renewal, I believe that this is our daily feast. Do you agree with me? Thumbs up. Yes, amen. Yes, it is our daily feast. It is not the feast of Pentecost. For us, Pentecost is every day. We need to be charged up every day. We have often heard teachings on the life in the spirit. But how does this life come to us? In our physical living, we know we need to breathe. Okay, we need the breath tells us that we are alive. When we eat food, we know we are alive, and a few other things. When it comes to marriage, we know we need to have an active relationship with our spouse. And then we know that, okay, that marriage is active and there is a relationship. Of course, not the neighbor's spouse, but your own spouse. If we have a source for these areas, then what about our spiritual life? From how does this spiritual life come to us? It comes to us, my dear brothers and sisters, when we have a fellowship, a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Life in the Spirit comes from having a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, else we are spiritually dead. And I'm not hesitating to tell you that. So when we have a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we have a living relationship. So today, this evening, we are going to look at the root of living in the Spirit, and that is the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Central to our teaching this evening is the verse from 2 Corinthians 13:13. I'm sure you have heard this line very often, rather every day. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship or the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Where have you heard this line? Anybody can tell me where have you heard this line? Of course, at Mass. Yes, it is at Mass that we hear. It's Pentecost. And so we are going to focus on the third line that is over there, the fellowship or the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, just as we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, so is Pentecost, because it's the birth of the Holy Spirit as shown to us by Jesus. Of course, the Holy Spirit has been there before even creation, but this was when Jesus presented the Holy Spirit. So it's the Pentecost when it descended upon those people gathered in the upper room. Right now, as you're listening to the word of God, your home is the upper room, and be prepared for an experience of the Holy Spirit this evening in your home, in your room, and with all your family members. Since the ascension of Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit who has been leading and functioning as Jesus told during his ministry here on earth. As I mentioned, I will focus on this word fellowship itself, on fellowship, relationship with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Don't mistake, my dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit as an object, because we say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very much a person with mind, will, and emotion, just as you have. Now, having said that, I want to even talk about, I will not be able to cover the fellowship with your neighbors, with your brothers and sisters. But whatever I speak today with relation to the Holy Spirit is applicable for your relationship with your brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit has no double standards. The Bible does not talk about double standards. It is just the way we love our relationship with the Holy Spirit is the way we will go and have our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So the term that I will use is fellowship of the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, or fellowship in the Holy Spirit. They all mean the same thing for us. Now, when it comes to this word fellowship, we have heard this word when we go for higher studies. When you go for higher studies, they use this word fellowship. But what does it mean, fellowship of the Holy Spirit? So often we have heard it at Mass. So often we say fellowship, we should fellowship. When we talk about fellowship, we talk about our relationship within this group, like talking to people. But this, when we are talking about fellowship of the Holy Spirit, it means something very, very deep. And I'm going to give you some words which you will see on the screen. You can note it down. I cannot explain all again, as I said, but I want you to gauge the depth and the significance of each of those words that you will see. Whichever one you feel comfortable, pick up that word. It will help you have a better understanding of our teaching this evening. So now let's look at fellowship. It is a fellowship created by the Holy Spirit, sustained by the Holy Spirit, and directed by the Holy Spirit. Note it, it is created by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit grants us fellowship. You cannot start it, okay? It is the Holy Spirit who will extend his hand to you of friendship, of fellowship. It happened on the day of Pentecost, and today he is extending his hand of friendship to you. He is making the first move. Wow! He waits for your yes every day, just as Mary did. Sounds romantic, right? Yes, it is. The relationship with the Holy Spirit is romantic. You will see and experience beautiful things in your life with this living person of the Trinity. You will experience his power in your life. And it's not only his power, he will empower you. And I'm sure all of you want to feel that power in your life. The second area, it is an active personal relationship. It's not part-time. Let's be very clear on that. He does not want part-time lovers. He is not looking for part-time lovers. He is looking for full-time lovers, convicted lovers. You remember the song Stevie Wonder sang part-time lover? It came to my mind when I was preparing my talk. No, the Holy Spirit does not want part-time lovers. He wants full-time lovers. The other words that we can use for fellowship is friendship. Ah, very good. Partnership. We have a lot of friends. We have good friends. We have true friends. We have company friends. And we have best friends. So we have different kinds of friends. But the friendship of the Holy Spirit is of a different nature. And I will tell you a little later. In Greek, we use the word koinonia. If you read the Greek text of scripture of 2 Corinthians 13, you will come across this word koinonia, which means communion. And we are all familiar with this word communion because we receive Holy Communion. It is something of a sharing. It's something of a sharing. It is of an intimate relationship, a one-on-one relationship with the Holy Spirit. So koinonia or fellow means community or communion and a joint participation. The opposite of this fellow, what happens when you have this relationship with the Holy Spirit? You have life in the Spirit. There is life. Something happens to you in your life. Something is different in your life. Recall the time before you met the Lord, before you had the God experience. What is the difference from that time and this time today? There is a difference, and that is because of an active relationship with the Holy Spirit. To understand the point I'm trying to make, I also found out an opposite. And that is a lukewarm relationship. The Bible also tells, I wish you were hot or cold, but you are lukewarm. So, you know, the Lord is very, very clear. He doesn't want a broken relationship. My dear brothers and sisters, he wants an active, personal, engaging relationship with you. Now, if you look at the screen, you will see many words, ship. Okay, so as we all know, ship is the slowest mode of transport. So though we become instant friends with the Holy Spirit, it's a lifelong journey with the Holy Spirit. It's a lifelong, and we are called to be like him, to have the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In scripture, there are a few different words as well, as you can see it on the screen. Walk by sight from Galatians 5:16, walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, abide or remain in me. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever walked with your enemy or a stranger or with a lukewarm person for that matter? There is no relationship over there. You are not walking with that person. So it is very, very clear that if that relationship is not active, you have nothing to do with that person. And if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, these are the things you will do in your life. And this will be seen in your life. We all know scripture and we know this famous verse from John 3:16 that Jesus came to give abundant life. But he also came to give us abundant life, John 10:10. And when we look at these two scripture quotes, it tells us of something. It is something very different. One tells us about the quantity, that is the length of our life. Sometimes we think of eternal life as something that is available to us after this life, though it is here and now, but we think of it as after this life. But abundant life is something that we have here and now in our present breathing earthly life, here on planet Earth. So this is the life that Jesus came to give us, and we get this life because of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if somebody promised you abundant money, what would you understand? It would mean lots of money. Okay, he would lavish you with money or give you ample of money. Now, if you get some person like that, let me also know. But that's not the point. But abundant means lots of something. So the Holy Spirit is coming into our life. When you say abundant life, it means lots of joy, lots of peace, lots of fruit of the Holy Spirit, lots of hope, lots of health, lots of blessings, and many other areas. Don't settle for anything less when you are still breathing, my dear brothers and sisters. This comes from an active relationship. One where you can see the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life, an active personal relationship with our friend, the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, he is the bestest friend you can ever have in your life. Now, English doesn't have a word like bestest, but I'm sure you can understand the point I am trying to make. So that is how the Holy Spirit works in our life. Now let's look at some of the essentials required to sustain a relationship. And though I am speaking to you today exclusively on the Holy Spirit, the same is applicable for you, our relationship with our earthly brothers and sisters, our neighbors. So it is there, it is a part, even a part of your marriage. Okay, whenever there is fellowship, there has to be fellowship in marriage. There has to be friendship and partnership in marriage. So these are essentials in all areas of our life. Let's look at the first point. And I'm sure you also know there are many points, but I've just put four or five because of time limitations. So let's look at the first one. Love and mutual intimacy. Love God is what scripture says. The theme of the Bible is the love of God. Very clear. And nobody can divert from that. So if there is no love, there is no relationship. And God through his word is telling us how much he loves us. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. And that is enough for us to understand that he, because of that love, he has done everything possible. He crucified his son Jesus to show his love, and he has sent us the Holy Spirit. If there is no Holy Spirit, if there is no love, there is no Holy Spirit, there will be no relationship with the Trinity, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you said, "I love you, Holy Spirit"? Is it days or weeks or months or years? Come on. I want you to say it now. I love you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to count three and you are going to say it in your own home, though you are muted. Don't worry. I want you to say it loud. I love you, Holy Spirit. Okay, ready to go? Look at the screen, please. One, two, three. I love you, Holy Spirit. Come on, loudly. Don't whisper it below your breath that you're talking about love, you're feeling romantic. Okay, very good. With Josh and energy, I want you to say, let's do that once again. I love you, Holy Spirit, and say that to him every day. How do you tell your loved ones? Well, if you tell your children, your spouse, you have to tell the Holy Spirit, I love you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen to that, brothers and sisters. The second area, communication. Communicate openly with the Holy Spirit, not only during your prayer time, that's good, but communicate with them 24/7. When you are working in your workplace, in the kitchen, you're in the washroom, you're walking, you're traveling, you're waiting somewhere, speak to the Holy Spirit. You're in the queue, you're going for your COVID test, speak to him. He is waiting to hear from you. Share your intimate thoughts, my dear brothers and sisters, with this person of the Trinity, this bestest friend that you can have for your life. Don't wait for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He will speak. It's, you know, sometimes we say, pehle aap. Holy Spirit, you speak. No, he tells, pehle aap, you speak. He wants to know what's happening in the world. Don't ask him what's happening in your world. There is so much happening in the Holy Spirit world that even if our whole life is not cover, will not cover one day. And so tell the Holy Spirit everything that is happening in your life and you will see the wonders. Friends, you are the host. He is the Holy Ghost. So at least make him feel you are interested in him by communicating, and that is always welcome. There is one scripture quotation which tells us something, a warning. But I have this against you, Revelation 2:4, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Your first love, the pehla pyar that you had, is not seen as time has passed. Pentecost, this Pentecost is a wake-up call for us, my dear brothers and sisters, to get into an active relationship. Many of us make the mistake of sharing our innermost thoughts with our friends, two friends, and some people even with Google. But they all have limitations. They do not know the way forward. Not so with the Holy Spirit. You can speak to him in any language that you speak, English, Hindi, Marathi, Konkani, and yearn to listen to his voice. I can tell you the way he has called out my name so many times. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that nobody earthly has ever called me the way, the sweetest way the Holy Spirit has called. Now, in communication, the other part is listening as well. Don't forget that part. Though you speak, give time to the Holy Spirit. And I'm praying this from this morning. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I want to hear you more closely, more loudly. I'm praying for that gift. I said, Holy Spirit, this gift I want. He speaks in different ways, my dear brothers and sisters. He speaks in different ways. He speaks through scriptures. He speaks through nature. He speaks through people, through circumstances. And some people hear him audibly as well. The third area that I want to speak about is working through disappointments. Now, just because I told you all the rosy things about the Holy Spirit, don't mistake that there will be no thorns or no crosses in your life. Many of marriages have failed because they believed that, you know, everything would be rosy in their marriage. They had done everything right till the point of marriage. Okay, they have only looked at skin deep or pocket deep. And there have been disasters in this marriage. Friends, roses have thorns. We all know that very well. But today, I want to even tell you this. Even thorns have roses. Even thorns have roses. So no matter what disappointments you have, no matter what crosses you have, no matter what difficulties you have, this friend of ours, the Holy Spirit, will bring a rose on that difficulty and through those thorns. So do not end your relationship with the Holy Spirit because things did not work out the way you wanted them. He has a way for every situation. Another area that's important is trust. And it's a continuation of my previous point. Okay, just do not end your relation. He has plans for your welfare. He has plans to give you a future. Very often, because we have heard so many teachings on TV and all, we think that success will embrace us everywhere we go. The Lord knows what he see. As I said, the Holy Spirit wants to ensure you have eternal life more than abundant life. Giving you abundant life and losing sight of the eternal life is not what the Holy Spirit wants. Eternal life is inside. So all the purging he will do for us in this life so that when we close our eyes here, we open it up straight in heaven. So trust this friend of ours. Trust this friend of yours. And one last point that I want to make it is shortcomings. All of us have shortcomings. All of us are sinners. We have our sins. And a true friend will show your shortcomings and weaknesses. And this is what I have found the Holy Spirit doing for me as well. So often he has told, go for confession. And that's very, very important for us. So he tells us, so he is there. You know, when we have such friends, we don't like such friends, whoever points out our mistakes. But you will see that when the Holy Spirit shows you that area, you will see wonderful things happen in your life. Patsy, you're writing something. Okay. Okay. Please do not write on your mobile screen, because I can see some people are ticking and writing up over there. So just refrain from that. You can take your notes down. Now, let me continue. Now, there are different levels of what are the depths or levels we can get into relationship. Okay. It's not just one flat relationship as we use. And I want you to take you to Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 3 following. Read this chapter at ease, my dear brothers and sisters. Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 3 following. And it talks about a man who was taking Ezekiel along, and he was showing the water flowing from the temple, the water that flowed from beneath the temple. Going on eastward with a cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water. And at the first 1,000, it was ankle deep. Then he measured another 1,000, the second 1,000, and it was knee deep. And then he measured a third 1,000, and it was waist deep. And finally, he measured a fourth 1,000, and it was a river which could not be crossed. It was deep enough to swim. Friends, this I'm using this to show the levels of fellowship we can have with the Holy Spirit. As you increase the level of your engagement with the Holy Spirit, you will experience this river flowing into. Now, was the man interested in showing Ezekiel how to swim in a river? See, the Holy Spirit also did not take Ezekiel directly to the river. He took him through the ankle, knee, waist, and then to the river. So Ezekiel was prepared as he went along. So he did not want to teach Ezekiel to swim, but he had some other intentions. He showed him something more, my dear brothers and sisters. And this is what he showed them. Where the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. Replace that word river with the word Holy Spirit. Wherever the Holy Spirit goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be many fish, there will be many. And these waters will reach there. It will become fresh. Wherever the Holy Spirit goes, it will become fresh, and everything will live wherever the Holy Spirit goes. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, tells us the level of engagement that we can have with the Holy Spirit. So this Pentecost, go for it. From ankle to knee to waist, check out where you are and get to the level of the river where you can swim. Interesting passage from Ezekiel chapter 47. Is there something like this in the New Testament? Yes, the parable of the sower, Matthew 13. It tells us again of four levels of relationship. The first was a path, and it is a spiritually dead person. The second was rocky soil. You know, it sprang up instantly, but when difficulties came, bhagya. It was a short-lived relationship. Then there was a third among thorns. This person wanted to keep one leg in the spiritual world and one leg in the world. And he wanted to take a balance between both the places. As a result, cares and pleasures choked him, and he was in a spiritual relationship, but that spiritual relationship was choked. It was stunted. And the final, we all know, was the fertile soil. He went to that fourth level. It was a long-lived relationship. And we see there some bore 30, 60, and 100. My dear brothers and sisters, 30, 60, and 100 tells us, even in the fertile soil, what levels we can engage with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, you know where you need to be. So pray this Pentecost for that power, for that relationship. Look for how you can get into this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This relationship comes from, which is a very central theme to our prayer group. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing without the Lord. So fellowship, as I said, is created by the Holy Spirit. So if you want something to happen in your life, you have to first show an interest in that relationship with the Lord. Revelation 3:20. Listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come to you and eat with you and you with me. Now this passage, this verse always confuses me. If I am the host, if I am the door, I think I am the host and I am the one who has to bring everything to the table. But you see what the Lord is saying? I will eat with you and you with me and I will come into you. I will bring good things. When I am the host, I bring things to the table. But here the Holy Spirit says, I will bring even better, best things to your table, my dear brothers and sisters, my dear friends. And so this verse becomes very important. As I'm talking about this dining, we will come and eat with you. I want to tell you what happened this morning. Last night at my place in my home, I am the chef. Okay, I'm the sous chef, as you can, some of you can understand that, at my home for morning breakfast. So morning breakfast has to be prepared by me. And every morning, it's always as even some of you have, or rather all of you have, what to cook next day, what to eat next day. And I had this question last night, what to eat next day? Today morning, as I was waking up, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me a dish, what we can have for breakfast. And I said, oh yeah, it's been a long time. And so I went out and just brought that dish and we had that. That is how the Holy Spirit works, my dear. That is relationship. Okay, when we are at home, we discuss, I and my wife, this is what we should cook today, whether this is no, okay, we discuss, and then we agree and we go ahead. So also the Holy Spirit can suggest you. And so I've experienced in many, many areas of my life, my dear brothers and sisters, where I can see the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Just this week that has passed by, on Monday, we had the cyclone, Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't recall. And at my house, there was tiling work, there was my bathroom work going on, and tiles have been replaced. But because of the lockdown and because of my dad's death, the work stopped in between and it could not be resumed. And there was this one tile we had kept in the hall. And just next, it so happened, though the windows were closed, we do not know with the breeze that was still moving around in the house, this tile started coming off from where it was resting. And I was sitting at my desk and preparing my teaching for today. And it so happened, I was screaming out to my wife, come fast, come fast, come fast. The tile is falling. And I could see the tile coming off in a slow motion. It was coming and I was worried that, okay, if the tile broke, I didn't have a problem, but it would break the tile on the floor and that would mean doing things in the house again. And I just called out Holy Spirit at that moment and I do not know what happened. The tile took a little angle and it went and got stuck in the shoe rack and it did not fall down. My tile was saved, my floor was saved. Praise the Lord. And just besides it was the picture of Jesus, the good shepherd. The shepherd protected my home. I have got to, you all know, we went through a time of COVID and there were all worries for when we read the news, deaths over here, people going on ICUs, ventilators, and all five of us were affected. We thought what would happen of us. But something inside me was, there was calm. There was peace. I have been through this situation before and so there was peace and I do not know why I did not feel anxiety or fear, but I know it was the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit will do, my dear brothers and sisters. When I have to prepare a teaching, how do I prepare a teaching? I read, of course, but then I wait for those few words of inspiration from the Holy Spirit and that makes all the difference. Again, a few days back in office, I had a very difficult situation. The workflow that I had designed for the office to how to do our service admin work was being questioned by the top management. And we had a two-hour debate. Let me tell you, it was a two-hour debate and tempers were frayed. Angry, and even I, in a way, I could say that I lost my cool even with the senior people. So it was, I can tell you that it was so engaging and evolving. And then I do not know what happened. Suddenly, in the midst of it, everything took a turn. And I was feeling agitated as to why this meeting was called in the first place. But at the end of it, I want to tell you, after 2 hours of discussion, 2 hours, 15 minutes to be precise, they said, we will not change anything in that workflow. It will remain as it is. No changes to be made in that. Praise the Lord. This, my dear brothers and sisters, comes when the Holy Spirit advocates for us and tells that what is being done. Because I have done this thing under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As He acknowledged, showed me things in small ways, I have done it. I recall a place where there was some activity going on and I was out of it. But somehow the Lord made it possible for me. I'm not naming that place. Lord made it possible for me to be over there. And you won't believe, my dear brothers and sisters, as the Lord showed me, I was asking them to do those changes and everything was accepted by that team. And it has come out beautiful. Praise the Lord. This is not mine. I don't have that kind of thinking power. I don't have that kind of wisdom. But it is the Holy Spirit, my dear brothers and sisters, who will guide you. Like Peter said, you know, when you have this friend, once you have the Holy Spirit, you're no longer interested in your earthly friends. And I don't have many of those in a way. Like Peter said, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. You and I can say to the Holy Spirit, to whom should we go? You have the words of abundant life. My dear brothers and sisters, I can go on and on with many, many testimonies. But what is the benefit of this fellowship? The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And yesterday we had a teaching by Hazel where she covered this word help and that in Greek and what it means to us. For we do not know how to pray with all our intelligence, with all our wisdom, with all our knowledge. My dear brothers and sisters, look at this verse again. It is very clear what Paul is writing. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So don't mistake that you are going to be successful in everything that you do. The Holy Spirit comes to you and the weaknesses will be there because He wants to show His glory. He wants God's glory to be shown, to be revealed in that place. And this is what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit takes a few shortcuts. You know, these weaknesses are actually shortcuts. And you and I know that shortcuts are dangerous and difficult. And they are very, very painful. But in the end, He will bring you to a place which you have never, ever imagined in your life. Never, ever imagined in your life. And that is what, my dear brothers and sisters, you will be shocked to see. You never even envisaged that you would ever be one day over here. And this is what, my dear brothers and sisters, is what we will gain when we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So this Pentecost, I want to ask you, pray earnestly, and not only today, but every day for a fellowship. Open up to Him, speak to Him, chat with Him, as I would say. I'm using this word chat to tell you, just as you chat with your friends on WhatsApp or on Instagram or Twitter or wherever, you tweet to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him if you're having difficulties, ask it to the Holy Spirit. Place it before Him. I just shared with you what happened this morning. That's a very small, okay, it's a daily thing. But there are things of your life, your career, your vocation, your studies, your where you have to stay, what you have to do, where He wants to place you, what is the mission He wants. Ask it for the Holy Spirit. As I conclude, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is not done until the final whistle of your life is blown. He worked in the life of Abraham, though he was 100. So He is there with you and He wants to work. And you all know, I end my talk with this one line. Keep the Holy Spirit alive till you're 95. Can we all say that together? Come on, raise your hands up with a thumbs up. Come on, everybody. Keep the Holy Spirit alive till you're... Now you all are, even though you all are 50, you all are sounding like 95. Come on, with power, with Josh, with energy, as you heard the word of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, this Pentecost, say it loudly. Keep the Holy Spirit alive till you're 95. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do not allow the Holy Spirit to be gone before you have gone to your coffin. Amen.